Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Listen once more to what Christ has done just for you. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You are loved. You are cherished. You are saved. Saved through Jesus Christ. Know this and be at peace. We can be at peace because we know Christ prays for us. And so once more, we return to the Last Supper. Jesus has given his disciples his last earthly teachings, and it's telling them what they need to hear and remember before the cataclysmic events of passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. And these final teachings center on the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, he promises time and again, is with you. The Holy Spirit of God is your advocate, your guide, your helper, your leader, and the Holy Spirit is in you. You live and breathe the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you in your very being, in this sanctuary. Then in chapter 17, Jesus turns to the Father for praying for his disciples who are with him. And then in verse 20, he says, I'm not only praying for them, but now he's praying for us, for each one of us. Listen, let's eavesdrop on Jesus' prayer. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I can't tell you how much assurance and peace this gives me to know that Jesus is praying for me. The Son of God has promised the Holy Spirit, who prays for me when I run out of words. And the Son of God now turns to the Father, praying for each of us. Jesus knows we are eavesdropping on his conversation with the Father. And so twice he asks the Father to hear and act. At the same time, he's telling us to overhear and react. Verse 21, I pray that they may be one, Father, just as you and I are one. I and you and me. May they be one with each other and with us, so that the world may know that you sent me. Verse 22 and 23 says the same thing, only with different words. That they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. That this may be brought to completion, that the world may come to know that you sent me. Jesus is praying for us that we may be one with the Son of God and the Father, so that the world may come to know the saving love, the salvation, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Just as the Father and Son are one, we can witness and live as one because we have the Holy Spirit with us, helping us, guiding us, sustaining us. And we could do it because the Holy Spirit is right here. The Son of God has prayed to the Father on our behalf. The Son has prayed to the Father to hear and do, to act, and for us to overhear and to react. This is God in action, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, the perfect union of God. Jesus is praying that we can recognize and ultimately imitate and live into this perfect unity. Jesus is praying that we might be godlike and live as the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, this is a lot to ask of us, but we are the Covenant Presbyterian Church. We can do this. Last week at roundtables at the morning class, Sunday morning class, I asked, what are your sacred cows? What are the church's sacred cows? What is sacred to us? What's most important to us? Basically, I was asking, what shouldn't I mess with? And I thought I was going to hear a lot about what we do. What I actually heard a lot about is who we are. We are a diverse, crazily diverse group of people to whom unity is sacred. We have so many people from so many different faith traditions, so many different theologies, dare I say, who have different political views. But here we are. Here we are, one in Christ. Some of us are old, some of us are young, some of us don't understand this God thing at all, some of us have all the answers. Yeah, right. But here we are. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree on very important, hugely important issues. Yet we continue to love and serve the Lord and witness to Him to the world. And this isn't a unity of simple fellowship. This isn't, yeah, we're going along to get along. This isn't this placid, okay, whatever you say. No, we disagree. And we don't have to agree on every jot and tittle of Bible interpretation or theology or worship music preferences or the most effective ministries. Unity does not have to be forever harmonious, capitulating to each other, interaction of relationship. Relationships happen between theologically and ministerially diverse people. We are united by our different functions, our different actions, our different personalities, and we're united. We're united in our different differences. We are united in Christ. And in this way, we are showing the world God's saving grace, and this way, we are imitating God's very self, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we've done a good job of overhearing Jesus' prayer, and we're on our way to imitating Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy tells us the Lord is one. There is one God. Yet there are three distinct personalities, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Son remains in the Father and is distinct from the Father. The Spirit remains in the Son and is distinct from the Son. But one God in perfect loving relationship, each member of the Blessed Trinity with a different face, a different function. We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God who is creator, God who is provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, who is Savior and Redeemer. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who sustains us. Three distinct faces, three distinct functions, three distinct roles, yet one God in perfect unity. And Jesus prays that we recognize this unity and live into this unity. That's a lot to ask for us, of us this morning, to be contemplating the Blessed Trinity on a spring morning when I'm distracted because Matt's at Gator Cup shooting. It's hard to think through all this. So I'm going to try to make it a little bit more accessible through story. The night before my dad's funeral, my two older brothers and I were at the visitation at the funeral home. And we're standing there in the greeting line. And my older brother, George, gives me the shoulder bump. And he said, and he, in the head point, you know, the head point that brothers do. Who's that priest walking in? And I answered with my best youngest brother, Wine, I don't know. And then I looked again, and it was Russ, one of my classmates, Russell Patrick. And Russ comes walking up, huge man, built like a granite block, comes walking up to me, and he looks me square in the eye and says, you know, the older you get, the more Arab you look. And I said, Russ, the older you get, the more like a middle-aged priest you look. And we laughed, and we started sharing about our lives. And Russ, his eyes glittered when he talked about his church, when he talked about the people of his church. He's just on fire with what's happening. A little while later, a nice-looking man comes walking in. He looks at me, and he starts quoting me my first attempt at a sermon about the Trinity, and it was wretched. And he starts laughing at me, and it was Mark. He was another classmate. Now, Mark had left the seminary a year before we were ordained, and he took a job at a nurse at an elderly care facility until something better came along. All these years later, Mark now runs that facility and its sister facility, and he starts talking about everything that they're doing and how much they are loving and serving the Lord together. All that, we started laughing about the Trinity and all that, so I Googled one of our professors, Sister Pat. She's a lovely, lovely person. She was a friend, not much older than me. And she showed me she was a friend one day when she got in my face and chewed me out for not taking systematic theology seriously enough. Wouldn't Pat be happy to know that I'm preaching the Trinity today? But I looked Pat up and I started emailing with her. It turns out she's now Dr. Pat, professor of systematic theology and the chair of the theology department at a college. And she is just as passionate and fiery about theology as ever. All four of us serve the Lord Jesus Christ in perfect unity. We all are doing the same thing, showing the world who Jesus Christ is, passionately doing so. We are one, but look at the different gifts. Look at the different talents. Look at the different functions, the different lives that allows each of us to reach people the others just can't reach with the saving message of Jesus Christ. Russ is reaching people and doing things that I frankly couldn't do and had to reject. Mark is changing the world one person at a time with the most fragile of our brothers and sisters, the elderly at those facilities. Sister Pat's students and their students are glad she is so passionate about systematic theology. Living in Colorado, serving Covenant Church, I'm one with them, yet we're different. We're engaged in different ministries. We have different functions. When we got together, we didn't argue theology. We didn't argue this denomination, that denomination, serving the Lord as a layperson, serving the Lord as a nun. We get together and talk about, with Russ, our eyes twinkle as we talk about who we are and how we serve the Lord together. Now, I'm not saying that any of the four of us are perfect. Back in the day when we were young, we saw each other at our worst many times. But I'm saying that we're doing our best to show the world that Christ loves them, that Christ loves you. And we're doing it in way different ways. Now, you know I love Covenant Church. I have fallen in love with you people. But I don't look at you with rose-colored glasses. We have our great strengths. We have our foibles. We are who we are. Yet we are one with Christ. It is sacred to us. It is sacred that we revered, big words, that we are different. Yet here we are together in unity. This is exactly the unity that Jesus Christ prays for us on, for our behalf at the Last Supper. This unity comes down to us from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God together in unity with different functions, different ways. It's a unity of relationship. It's a unity of being able to be fierce and agree, and be fierce and disagree, and still be in relationship, and still show the world that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus has saved you. It's not going along to get along, where we agree on every jot and tittle, and we're placid in our relationships. It's a unity of relationship that can be fierce, but it's best stated by that bumper sticker I talked about last week. Love God, love each other. And God prays that through our, Jesus prays to the Father, and we have the Holy Spirit with us to hear that prayer. That through our diverse unity, the world may come to know, and we may really feel the salvation that he's won for us. It is a unity lived out differently by each of us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we pray that we may be one with you just as you and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. We pray along with you that we may be one so that we can all declare and live out the same message. Love God, love each other, so that the world may come to know you, the Christ, are the Messiah and our Savior forever and ever. Amen.